Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up? Don't sit down. Stand up, don't back down. Stand up and shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American,
American. Good afternoon. It's Tuesday, it's Southern Sense, and we're here to have some fun today. You're listening to Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, along with my oh-so-intellectual, oh-so-politically savvy, oh-so-handsome co-host, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Mikey.
Well, good afternoon, Annie. As always, a pleasure and an honor to be here on Southern Sense, and yes, have some great fun with our guest today, Vanessa Faulkner. I do this almost every week, but now the 10th of December with 21 days left in the year, and then we're saying Happy New Year all over again.
Yeah, just 3 weeks left to the new year. And you know, I really do have to apologize. On the last show on Friday, you mentioned December 7th, 1942. I got my dates mixed up. I'm a little bit of a loony bin. You know, it comes with the gray hairs. You suffer from CRS, can't remember. But I had said it was Normie, but it was Pearl Harbor, my big bad. So get that out there and in front.
Well, they're both obviously days that will live in infamy. Obviously, there are several military days and days. But anyway, right on the correction, and whether it's Pearl Harbor, Midway, it really doesn't matter, though. That was an amazing generation of amazing Americans.
Yes, and on the 7th, my husband and I sat down, and there was a whole mess of World War II movies around Pearl Harbor, Guam, Midway, and we were watching them all. And you just look at it and you shake your head, amazed at what these men went through.
Speaking of, JFK said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Here's people that long before that quote was even said, here's people that showed made the ultimate sacrifice with what they didn't do for their country.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, we're going to go into our dedication. Those that listen to our show know that we always start off with a dedication to a fallen hero. And this person was extremely special and worthy of recognition. The show is being dedicated to Marine Corps Private First Class Bruce Wayne Carter, killed on August 7th, 1969, in Quang Tri Province, Vietnam. And this is from the Defense Department of Defense. And this was dated February 14th, 2001. I often wonder what my son would look like now, the platinum-haired woman said, glancing at the other combat veterans in the room. He'd be in his 50s, George E. Carter Krell said with a wistful sigh. Krell lost her son to Vietnam. At 17, shortly after graduating from high school, he joined the Marines and went off to war. His body came home 2 years later in a sealed coffin. Private First Class Bruce W. Carter died August 7, 1969. Vice President Spiro Agnew awarded the 19-year-old Marine the Medal of Honor for his final heroic act. Under heavy attack, Carter threw himself on a live grenade to protect his brother Marines. Carter died as he had lived, according to Carell, first Vice President of the American Gold Star Mothers, an organization that works to keep their offspring's memories alive. As a kid, Bruce always had to be the first in line. The first to be the best at everything, Krell recalled with a smile. When the kids signed up for band, he was the only kid to get off the bus with a tuba. I took one look at him and said, Bruce, that tuba's bigger than you are. He said, yeah, but nobody can carry it but me. Bruce had always wanted to be a Marine, she noted. I have no idea why. There were no Marines in our family. Bruce was going to be a Marine, and that was that. He was the hoorah all the way through. All in all, not many people knew Carter, only his family, people he grew up with and the Marines he served. Krell recently talked with a man who was with her son the day he died. Thanks to coincidence and perhaps divine intervention, the contact meant the end of a 32-year vigil. Krell never really believed her son was dead. Yes, she's seen the coffin. Yes, there's been a funeral in his hometown of Miami Springs, Florida. And yes, there was a grave, but she rarely went there. I never believed she was in the coffin, ever, she told the American Forces press service. I begged, please, let us look, but they wouldn't let us. The Medal of Citation reads, for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while serving as a grenadier with Company H in connection with combat operations against the enemy. Private First Class Carter's unit was maneuvering against the enemy during Operation Idaho Canyon and came under heavy volume of fire from a numerically superior hostile force. The lead element soon became separated from the main body of the squad by a brush fire. Private First Class Carter and his fellow Marines were pinned down by vicious crossfire when, with complete disregard for his safety, he stood in full view of the North Vietnamese Army soldiers to deliver a devastating volume of fire at their position. The accuracy and aggressiveness of his attack caused several enemy casualties and forced the remainder of the soldiers to retreat from the immediate area. Shouting directions to the Marines around him, Private First Class Carter then commenced leading them from the path of the rapidly approaching brush fire when he observed a hostile grenade land between him and his companions. Fully aware of the probable consequences of his action, but determined to protect the men following him, he unhesitatingly threw himself over the grenade, absorbing the full effects of its detonation with his body. Private First Class Carter's indomitable courage, inspiring initiative, and selfless devotion to the duty upheld the highest traditions of the Marine Corps and the U.S. Navy Service. He gallantly gave his life in the service of his country. In her mind, Bruce was still somewhere in Vietnam. Someday, she thought, he might come home. Just walk to the door and everything would be fine. So she never moved from the house Bruce knew. When he went into the service, he gave all of his toys and his trains and everything to the neighborhood kids, Burrell said. He said, come on in. Come help yourself. I'm all grown up. I don't need you. His room is still there. After boot camp and language camp, Carter came home one last time at Christmas before shipping out to Vietnam. That was the last time we saw him, Krell said. 6 days, for her scheduled wedding to second husband, Frank Rowe, Marines arrived at her door with the news of her son's death. "He was buried on my birthday, August 25th, 1969," she recalled. Eventually, Krell said grief gave way, as it must, to acceptance. "I had to accept that Bruce went off by choice. I had to learn not to be bitter about the loss. I had two daughters. I had to live for them, too." Still, she longed for her son's return. "Frank kept telling me, 'He's not coming home, Georgie.' And I kept saying, 'But I'm waiting.'" At a Gold Star Mother's Banquet in Washington, D.C., Krell met Bob Coughlin, a member of Vietnam Veterans of America, Chapter 451. He was alone in the crowd, and he had a Marine Corps pin on his tie. She recalled, "I said, 'Hi, Jarhead, how you doing?' We got to talk, and I said, 'You'd have thought that since my son received the Medal of Honor, I would have met someone, somebody that was with him. I don't know if you believe in divine intervention, but I've had too many things happen to me in my lifetime not to believe it,'" Coughlin said. "I went to the message board, and it said, reference, Bruce Carter. Anybody know him? Please contact him." About 2 weeks after he responded to that ad, Coughlin got an email from Louis Salomon Jr. of Prince, New Jersey. Quote, "I've been on the patrol with Bruce when he had gotten killed in 1969. I was a foreman with our unit, and that day we got separated by fire, and I couldn't get to him. I wish I could have. I wanted to, but there was nothing we could do. I guess it touched me back then, and I've carried it with me," he added. "Over the years, I've told my wife sometime I ought to look up his mother." The only thing he had to go on, however, was a news clip about Carter receiving the Medal of Honor. "Each year, August 7th, the day he died, was always a tough day for me," Salomon said. Salomon's message had been on the web for 6 months before Coughlin responded to it. "I got chills," he said. Coughlin asked Salomon if he was up to talking to Krell. "It was going to mean an awful lot to her, but I'm concerned about how well you're going to deal with it," he said. Salomon replied he was willing to give it a go. In his letters, he talked about Carter's last day. "I remember distinctly many events of that day," he wrote. "But what I remember most was how upset we all were that we lost Bruce. Not that losing another guy would have been easier, but it was Bruce. Bruce always wanted to take the point on patrols that he was assigned to, and I do recall everyone being a little bit more confident if he was with your patrol. I guess we all felt it a little safer. He was respected as a Marine by everyone. We knew he was a hardcore dedicated to doing what he was doing. You mentioned that at home he had to do everything well, had to try to be first. I guess that was what he took with him overseas." The day Carter died, Salomon said, "the patrol barely escaped a fire that had started during the firefight. Neither corpsman nor the other Marines could reach Carter. The patrol made it back to base camp, formed a larger group to go back for his body. I went, and along with a couple of Marines, carried Bruce back to camp. It was raining. It was wet, cold, cloudy, foggy, and miserable. We just couldn't get him out. The monsoons were starting, and it was a couple of days before the weather cleared enough to get a chopper in. Bruce was kept dry. I know this. I made certain of it. We made sure he was covered up, and I went to the spot where he was several times while we waited. Eventually, we got a bird in and got him out." So Georgie Salmon wrote, "Please know that Bruce did come home to you. Please ask those veterans who thought of contacting buddies or families or pals, but who haven't done so yet. Please gather themselves as best they can and make the attempt," Salomon said. "Maybe you can lessen someone else's hurt and your own," he concluded. Carell wholeheartedly agreed. "This has been the best thing that has happened to me in years," she said. "I've been telling the whole world that I found Lou. I'm delighted to know someone was with Bruce and cared about him all this time. Bruce gave his life. He knew what he was doing. Lou made it all come back to me. I feel proud to be Bruce's mother, and I'm also proud to be able to stand up with the Medal of Honor recipients. I may be small, but I carry the torch high for my son." This show is dedicated to all the brave men and women who have served, who are serving, and do serve. We dedicate this song, "My Name is America," by Todd Allen Harrodin. God bless them all, each and every one of them.
in the grip of oppression. I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up from the flame. Taken from others, others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest tower. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt,
Todd Allen Herndon, My Name is America. You know, hang on just a second. I think Vanessa is on the line. Vanessa, if you can lower your volume in the background on the computer. We're getting
or
a little bit of feedback.
Or turn it off totally.
Yeah, we're getting some feedback. Yeah. We got Vanessa Feltner coming on the show with us, but we just need to adjust her volume. I'm getting feedback from her.
I think Vanessa is on the line. Vanessa, if you can lower your volume in the background.
Or turn it off.
Yeah.
Oh, now where'd Thomas get involved here, too? Lord, help us. Danny, what do you get? The inmates are running the asylum around here.
Well, you know, those dedications sometimes really get to me, so I have to apologize about losing it towards the end. But we would like to welcome our guest, Vanessa Feltner. Good afternoon, Vanessa.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Vanessa. You got to turn down your volume in the background. Cause
my volume is turned down, but I hear other people talking on your line.
It's a delay between the show. That's you're hearing the show in the background. We'll just try to work around it. Unfortunately, I have no control on this end. But we're going to have fun anyway. first of all, I'm going to start off and say happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
You're 29 again, right?
Yeah, in my mind.
We have one of your favorite fans here, Cool Mike, on with us as my co-host.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Vanessa. How are you?
I'm good. It's 3:20 in the morning here in China.
I know. I was chatting with her. I sent you your birthday cake there on Facebook. So
yes, you sure did. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Whereabouts are you in China? And as always, Miss World Traveler, what brings you to China? Update us on what's going on in Vanessa's world.
I'm in Chengdu, China, singing.
Yeah, what hotel are you at?
I really hate to give out that information on public air because of some people.
Oh, okay, all right.
You know, well, because you never know. I kind of like protect my myself by not giving out information like that.
All right, now you have a new album out. What's the new album called?
Wow, I can hear three people talking now from my side.
Well,
it's really
Vanessa,
strange.
Hang on. Can you turn your volume down? Do you have the computer playing the show? If you can turn that down or off and just listen to our voice, that could solve a problem. Yes.
Yeah,
if I turn it off, I can't hear you at all.
All right, do you have the show page up on your computer?
The show page? No, I'm on my page.
Oh, all right. I guess it's all right because you don't have a headset on. You've got speakers going then. I think that's what it is.
She's in China.
Yeah. All right. Now, Vanessa, what's the name of the new album?
Joy to the World.
Okay, I put a link up on the show page as well as into the chat room. People can click on it to download it, can they?
I'm sorry.
Do you have a headset you can use instead of
no.
the speakers? Oh, all right. That's what the problem is. It's coming through the speakers and it's coming through your microphone at the same time, so you're hearing a delay between what we're saying. And
oh, wait a minute. I have some earplugs.
That would probably help a lot. All right, well, while she puts the earplugs in, I'm going to play one of the songs on her album. Let me just take a second to drop and drag it into the player. Just bear with me for a second. This is from her new album, Joy to the World, and it's the title song, Joy to the World. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Seltzer from her title album, Joy to the World, Joy to the World. Vanessa, I love the upbeat on that song.
Ah, thank you.
All right, now this is a lot better. The headset works a lot better.
Oh, my gosh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Modern technology.
That is such a great song. And since we've last had Vanessa on there periodically, she sends me songs. And I'll tell you, Vanessa, you have an amazing voice. You really are. You bring calmness to me. And that's hard to do, trust me. Being active in politics, my blood gets – I am telling you, it is absolutely beautiful the way in today's day and age. You know, sometimes when you get wrapped up in life, you tend to forget – some of the blessings that are given to us day to day, and your music really refreshes and reminds us of how fortunate we are, and the things that we should consider before continuing on with our life's work or whatever the story of the century is today in our world.
Yeah,
I always, every day of my life, I start my day and end my day by giving thanks for the things that God has put into my life.
That is a very wonderful thing to do, and too few of us do that. We need more people to do that. You know, what I loved about that song is the revival feeling to it.
Yes, ma'am. I like that, too. My producer, Christopher Wingfield, he's just amazing, and he came up with that arrangement. First of all, I listened to Michael Bolton and then to Mariah Carey's version, and then I went to Chris and told Chris I wanted a combination of both with his final touches put on it.
Ah, and he did.
And that's what I got.
He did an excellent job. Now, we got a caller here on the line. Let me bring this person in. Area code 937, you're on the air live with Southern Sense. Who am I speaking to?
Hello.
Hello. Yes,
hello.
You're on the air live.
This is a friend
hello?
Of Vanessa's. Hello.
Hello. Yes, you're on the air live, sir.
Well, if you give her chocolate after the second thing, she'll sing a lot better. She loves chocolate.
Is this Robert Gow?
Yeah, yes, it is.
I knew it. Hi, Bob.
Love you. I love you.
Love you, too. I love you,
yeah,
too.
Well,
I'll get off of here.
No, Robert, where are you going? Stick around. Robert, stick around. Don't go anywhere. Join the little party. This is our little Christmas party. I'll have to remember that, Vanessa, because, you know, it's been a while. We still haven't met. I'll have to remember when we cross paths to bring some chocolate to kind of...
Yes, I'm...
this
my bad.
Sounds better
it's
on
my
the
bad
telephone.
Everybody knows that about me, and do you know, between him and everybody else posting pictures of chocolate on my page, it's like almost impossible for me to even try to be on a diet.
So, Vanessa, what's it like? I know, Vanessa, you've traveled and stuff. From the outside standpoint, we see China as just, what's it like? We see it as a communist country where not much is going on. You have a police officer every 5 feet. What is it really like? And tell us about your experience when you're in there.
Oh, it isn't like that at all. I love China, and the only time you see a lot of police is in areas where there's problems. And there's a Tibetan area where they've had some problems, and in that area you will see a lot of police around just trying to keep control of everything. I think China's a great country, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. The people are so nice, and they're lovely. They're so good to me. And I'm telling you, God has just been amazing opening doors for me right and left. I met with a television station here, and I asked them if they would shoot a music video, Christian music video, I want you to know. They agreed to shoot two music videos for me here, and they know they're Christian videos, and they're excited about it, and they were so excited about it that they actually said they wanted to put me on Beijing TV to talk about it, and then they said they would arrange me a video shoot in Beijing, China. So
wow.
I'm a little confused on what is allowed and what isn't allowed. You know, I would think that would not be allowed, especially to have me go on Beijing TV and talk about it. But for them, they're excited because I'm combining my Christian song with China, and they are completely fascinated with that.
Yeah, that's interesting, because our church here was trying to send a missionary out to China. And
now that's a different story.
Well, originally the government did agree with it, and then last minute, two days before they were supposed to go, they pulled the rug out from underneath it. They were eventually able to go later on, but not to the area that they originally wanted to go to. So that's why I find it interesting.
Well, as in general, missionaries are not welcome here. There were four that I know of, missionary couples that were deported last month. Another man was sent out also for the same reason. So I have some acquaintances that were at a school studying, and the government actually showed up and did not single them out, but did say, you're welcome to practice your faith, but missionary work will not be tolerated.
Oh, that's strange, because, you know, like the government did eventually let them go. Of course, they couldn't do a lot of the things that they had intended to do, which is understandable knowing how China feels about missionaries, but they did allow them to go, and they were there.
Did they come in as missionaries or as students or some other title?
As far as I knew, it was a missionary.
I'm surprised they were allowed in at all then, because they're totally set against that here.
Wow. So maybe it was God's will that they went there at that time. So it's interesting.
So
Vanessa, while you make your world tour there and you're in China, I was the first to propose to you. So you say no to everyone until you meet me before you send me back. I at least...
propose
to me? Chinese, they're probably not even going to let you leave. They're going to be worshiping. You're probably going to have 50 of them shaking you in automobiles as you get on the plane back home. They'd be like, Vanessa, come back.
No, they're just going to roll me to the airport if I don't stop eating chocolate.
Now, speaking of that, Vanessa, let's help us here. Okay, let's say, let's pretend the show's over, and you say, hey, I want to go get a candy bar, chocolate, and a Coke. You can just... All right, but we're playing pretend, for God's sake.
No,
for you women
I
not
get
make
a
this
tangerine.
So difficult.
No, I get a tangerine or an apple and a glass of water.
All right, you're getting a let's say you want to go to dinner. How does this get so difficult? So you walk outside the hotel, you're just free to go left or go right or go straight or whatever. There's cars on the street, no different than, say your hometown in Ohio.
And what is your question?
My question is, it is just like that. I mean, you're free to just wander, roam, and whatever.
I can go anywhere I want, anytime I want. There's no control. It seems you have an opinion that China's very controlled. They're not.
Okay, that is what I see. That's why I was asking you about that.
And you know there are international churches everywhere, all over the place, and there, in addition to the international services, there are home churches, there are churches that move around. I mean, there are churches everywhere.
That is very good.
Well, they gave the bishop from the Catholic Church a pretty good trimming. Gave him a workover behind the. Anyway, that's great. Well, I'm glad to hear it. I mean, that's a wonderful thing.
It's like this. I mean, it's pretty much if you don't bother them or threaten the government in any way, they're not going to bother you. They're not. You're allowed to practice your faith. Now, I will say this, if it's an international church, the Chinese are not allowed in it. And they're not allowed. They can't go in. And the international churches can't allow them in because they would get closed down. So I was at an international church and I saw two Chinese ladies come in and they were met at the door and removed. Asked to leave because if they happen to be maybe undercover or something and they let them in, they would probably be closed down.
Oh, that's interesting. That is very interesting. Well, I'm going to play another one of your songs. This one I found very, very beautiful. Make it by a little quicker here. Oh, here we go. Bring it up. It's Christmas Time Again. I love
I wrote that one.
That's probably why I loved it so much.
Let me tell you, I wrote that song. It's a story, a true story about my family. It's exactly what happened every Christmas Eve. It would be snowing and cold outside, and my dad would be outside scraping the car window, warming up the car, and Mom would be rushing my brother and me around the house to get the toys, get the presents, get the boxes, get the food, put on your coats, let's go, your dad's waiting. And we'd get out in the car, and the Christmas carols would be blasting, and Dad would be singing. Then we would start that long drive out to Farmersville, and it was very hilly and winding roads, and the snow sometimes would be so bad that we would actually pray to make it up a hill. And Dad say, here's another one, you better start praying. But the most beautiful part is when we saw Zeering Road, we turn left on Zeering Road and go down about five houses, and my granny and Pa's house set way back off of the road, maybe a half a mile, something like that. And when we would go down that long driveway, the first thing you would see was Granny's little face in the kitchen window because it faced the driveway. And by the time we stopped the car and got out of the car and got to the door, her door was already open. And she would hug us and kiss us and tell us how much she loved us. And the house would smell so good. It'd be so warm and noisy because it was a small little country house and packed full of all the family. And it was wonderful. You'd walk into the living room, and there sat my grandpa, we called Paul, in his easy chair sitting by the old stove. And he'd just light up when we'd walk in. Best memories of my life.
Oh, wow. It's awesome. I'm going to play this now. It's Christmas Time Again, Vanessa Felder.
Put on your heavy coat. Daddy's warming up the car. Better hurry now, it's time to go. Daddy's singing to the radio as the Christmas carols play. Everyone is so excited. Tomorrow's Christmas Day. And it always was a long drive trying to get to Zero Road. Couldn't wait to get to Granny's house and see our family. I will miss the
What a sweet and beautiful song. And it's amazing.
Thank you.
You were talking about your dad, but you used to sing with your dad.
Yeah, my dad taught me how to sing. I sang with him in the Southern Nairs Quartet for 4 years, and I sang with him in his trio for a year. I mean, as long as I can remember, when I started playing the piano and trying to write songs, he would stand there at the piano and tell me, make it more simple, make it more simple so that a child can understand your song and sing along with you. That will make it commercial. And he taught me everything I know.
Dads are great, aren't they?
Yeah, he was wonderful.
And you lost him back in 2005.
Yeah, it seems like yesterday. I never, ever will get used to it. Just never.
No, honestly, I actually know how you feel because I just lost my dad just past October 3rd.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But
it's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah.
It leaves this gaping hole in your heart that just never seems to go away.
No, it doesn't. You know, and I was Daddy's little girl.
Me
too. I was his favorite. Yeah. So,
well, I was his only little girl, but I was his singer.
No, the worst part is I'm so much like my father that when we were trying to do the stuff with my mom when he had taken really ill, I would start to say or do something, and she would start to call me my father's name. And then when she realizes she was calling me my dad's name, she would stop for a second and throw her hands up in the air and goes, "You are just like your father."
And I don't think they thought I was as nice as my dad, though. Dad is a hard one to follow, you know, hard act to follow.
Oh, yeah, that they are. You know, so what do you have plans for now? Are you going to be staying there in China for a while or coming home or what?
I'm going to be here till May 31st. And while I'm here, as I mentioned earlier, March 15th and March 31st, we're shooting two music videos here. And then in April, the TV station is arranging for me to go to Beijing to shoot. Listen to this. They actually are renting a helicopter and for me to take up to the top of the Great Wall of China to shoot my video there.
Wow.
I mean, I know. This is such a God thing. And then I got this bright idea that I wanted to shoot a video with live tigers at the Tiger Temple. Have you ever heard of that in Bangkok?
Oh,
yeah.
You and your animals. Here we go. Here we go.
Well, do you know, I wrote them a letter asking to shoot a music video there in their temple walking with their tigers. Nobody answered me. So I ran into a man from Chevron here, and turns out he's born-again Christian and attends church here, and I told him what I wanted to do. He gave me a name and an address. He said, contact him. I contacted that man, and about 2 days later, I had official written permission to shoot the video there.
Holy moly.
So I'm going to go
It works that way, Vanessa, when you're an absolutely stunning, beautiful blonde, and you're physically just gorgeous like you. Someone like me says something, he's like,
not.
Yeah, of course, someone like me, he's like, oh, I met this idiot from America today. You know what he wanted from me? I mean, that's great, though.
Uh-uh,
I mean,
Mike. No, if God wanted you to go there and do that, then it would happen. It would be a God thing, and incredible things happen when you're right with God and walking with God and trying to do what you believe and you feel that he wants you to do. Now, I definitely believe that I have complete clarity on what I'm supposed to be doing here, and that is part of it, the videos. And so I'm just standing back and I'm watching God orchestrate all of this.
Now, I got a question. Are you shooting it in Chinese and English or in just one language?
Nope, just in English.
Oh,
but but I have to tell you something so incredibly amazing. I wrote this song called I've Got a Better Place to Go. And I recorded it already and did the lead vocals here. Chris, my producer, well, let's see. Let me tell you this. The School of Arts came in to see me, and they asked me to come speak at their school. So I went there, and I spoke to their class. And in the process, the director of the school, I was telling him about the music video, and he said, I mentioned I wanted to have country western line dancers with praise and worship hand gestures. This is another one of my bright ideals. This man said to me, well, our school would like to support that. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you can have all our dancers. And I didn't even think to ask how many. So the next day, another school, and they asked me the same thing. And so this time I asked them how many students they have, dancers. And he said about 100. I started laughing because I'm thinking if all of these 18, 19-year-old Chinese students show up, I'm going to have 100-some country western line dancers doing praise and worship hand gestures stand in front of a Chinese building with me wearing a Chinese coat and cowboy boots and them dancing to my Christian song with the TV station filming it.
It doesn't get any crazier than that. Now, you've got you've got to send me the videos. We've got to get them up on YouTube and stuff.
Okay. I mean, how off the wall is that? You know, only God could arrange such a thing. I could never in a million years.
Absolutely. And I think because of that, I'm going to play this next song, O Come, O Ye Faithful. How does that sound?
I love this one.
Okay, here we go. Vanessa Felton.
Joyful and
I love that. I love the bells at the end.
Yeah, I do too. I love that song because I get to sing all these high notes. I like high notes.
You know, what I find amazing is I have a sense in some way, because more people I talk to, the more they start to talk about their faith. And I've seen more people coming into our own church. And when we do our hymns, especially around we do communion or towards the end, if we get into one that happens to be a favorite of ours or something like that, find people starting to stand up. You know, instead of just, you know, sitting there, starting to stand up and doing it as if it was a praise worship, which is really strange for an Anglican church.
Well, I just believe that it's time for a mighty movement of God around the world, a revival. People are starting to realize that, you know, you can have anything in this world, you buy anything in this world, but bottom line is, what is your relationship between you and God? You have got to have God in your life. You have got to accept him into your life and have that peace and knowing that when your life is over, you know, you're going to go to heaven and you're going to spend eternity with him and your loved ones that have gone on before. You have that confidence, that security, that safety, that knowing that you belong to God.
Well, that's funny because that's basically what your father wrote in the song, I'll See You in the Rapture.
Well, now that doesn't surprise me that I feel that way. But it's the truth. I see that there is, seems to be like an awakening where people are really knowing and believing, you know, believing now. And when they stand up, people standing up, they're feeling it. They're feeling the presence of God. That's why they're standing up.
That is, that is true, and songs get so much more powerful there. That is absolutely wonderful. Now, I noticed there's a difference in each one of the arrangements. It's as if it's deliberate to make sure they don't sound like everything else.
This arrangement was my idea. I said to Chris, I want this song to be very, very worshipful. I want to sing the first verse like I'm worshiping God. And I said, and then I want you to change keys, go a little higher, and bring in the choir, like you know, a higher level of worship.
It is. We got another caller coming in, and I do believe this is your friend Thomas. Thomas, is that you on the line?
Well, hello, Southern Sense, Annie.
Well, welcome aboard, Thomas.
Oh, Tom, how are you?
I am doing well, Miss Vanessa. And
nice
I
to
feel...
hear your voice.
Yes,
go ahead.
It's good to hear your beautiful voice as well. I haven't got the songs downloaded on my computer yet, but I still have them all. See, I get to brag, Annie, because Vanessa sent me the Christmas album. So,
well, that's what we're playing, can, Thomas.
I know, I love it. It's really beautiful. So,
you know, well, look at Thomas coming on here doing his little Skype flirting, trying to play it all cool and stuff. Oh. Vanessa, I don't mind competition. I mean, that's great. I'm going to win anyways, but I'm just saying.
Mike, I am old enough to be your mother.
I keep reminding him that myself. Oh, yes,
ain't happening.
Who said ain't happening?
Well, you know, I still get a little nervous talking to you, Vanessa. It's kind of like, you know, you have my heart, and I'll calm down a little bit, but you know how it is when a man's around someone as beautiful as you spiritually and mentally. I mean, it's just, you are a revival for a person's soul. Just your face and your strong face, and having gone through very tough times and still, even now, difficult challenges, your deep faith is really a role model for all of us to follow and to have the faith. I mean,
You have to make a commitment, Mike, that regardless of what happens to you, you are going to keep your eyes on God and keep them off of man. I will tell you this. There was a time in my life, 26, 27 years ago, where some people hurt me really bad, and I turned my back on God, I turned my back on the church, and I stayed away for 26 years. And then I walked into Pastor Joseph Prince's church, and that hard shell that I had built around me just crumbled. It just crumbled. And I made a new commitment to God. And so it doesn't matter how far away you get from him or how low down you get, how many mistakes you make, you always have that choice to go back to him. And when you go back to him, you make that commitment to keep your eyes on him and to be with him. And so that's how I live my life now.
That's a wonderful way. Absolutely wonderful. And you've been having so much luck now with your career since then.
I don't believe in luck. I believe that I have divine intervention.
Well, that's basically what I should have said, but I wanted you to say it. I wanted you to say it, not me. And we've got a friend in the chat room, James the Evangelist, said, he's from Michigan too, Mike. He just got back from Ireland where he shared with over 1,000 souls.
I know who that is.
He's also
James.
He's in the chat room. He's welcome to call in. The call-in number, if anyone does want to call in and speak with Vanessa, it's 917-889-3675.
He went to Ireland. Yeah, and he had a lot of souls saved, let me tell you. He's a singer, too.
Yep, that's what he's writing. He's a pianist and singer.
I didn't know he played piano, but I knew he was a singer.
Well, I put up the link to Reverbernation for you in the chat room. It's also on the show page. So if you just go to our show page that you're listening into, there is a link to buy her songs on this wonderful, wonderful album that we're playing called Joy to the World. You know, I had fun listening to this one, Jingle Bells, and I happen to love what the arrangements did. Now, did you do this arrangement?
Well, all I said to Chris, and this is all I said to him, was I said, Chris, I don't want to go jingle bells, jingle bells. I said, look, can we give it just a little bit of swing? Like jingle bells, jingle bells. And then he did everything else.
All right. This is Vanessa
Felton. I tell you, he's a genius.
The album is Joy to the World, and this is Jingle Bells.
Jingle.
I love those crazy laughs in the background. What'd you do, get munchkins in there?
Those are, it's a little, a group of little girls.
Munchkins.
Yes, Chris collected a bunch of girls, or children, I should say, from all around the Dayton area, and they sang so good. I mean, these are young kids. They sang so good.
Oh, I can believe it. We got another caller in the line. This might be your friend. Area code 231. Can you lower your volume in the background? I'm getting a little bit of an echo. I'll try again in a second. Yeah, area code 231. I'll bring you on if you lower your volume in the background. We can try this again.
231, like 231, just like 20 minutes from me. Well, about a half hour, 45
Hello
minutes.
There.
Hello. Who am I speaking to?
Yeah, this is James. How are you doing?
Hi, James. You're on the air live with us.
Hi, James.
Vanessa, my sister on Facebook. How are you doing, young lady?
So nice to actually hear your voice and talk
to
you.
Yeah, and it's great to hear your voice also, my dear.
Congratulations,
you know, it's interesting how,
all the souls.
Yes, it's interesting how God is our precious Heavenly Father, and He has one body of the Lord Jesus Christ who is being made perfect day by day. And we get to value that body wherever they're at, all across the world, all across the globe. You are so precious. You're so precious, sister. I just am thankful I saw this. And it's awesome to be on the radio with you.
I just think it's wonderful that you just went to Ireland and had such a great time, and so many souls got saved because of you being obedient.
You know, it is this, and I'll tell you what, I just celebrated my big 60th birthday 2 weeks ago, and God told me to take a little journey with Him and that He would direct my steps each way, each moment of the day. And I saw this for 14, 16 hours every day. It was just unbelievable, amazing.
That's great. That's wonderful.
Well, happy birthday to you, James. And by the way, it happens to be Vanessa's birthday today. She's in China, so it's the 11th.
Is this your birthday?
Yes.
Wow.
Actually, in Ohio, or, I mean in the States, no, because my birthday is December 11th, but here I'm already older.
Oh, my goodness. Happy birthday to you. That's awesome, girl.
Everybody's just making news, too. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. Well, you wouldn't be, but our host of our show, Annie, has been making news, turning her county government on their assessments on all the homes in her area. She making the TV, the newspaper. She turning that place upside down.
Oh, fantastic.
You guys are all celebrities.
Wow.
Ireland, China.
Great.
I guess I'll just sit in the corner and keep quiet over here.
Oh, my goodness. So, Vanessa, how does it feel to be 39 years old, my sister?
In my dreams.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're praying for you every day here in snowy Michigan. We're on the west coast of Michigan, and it's been snowy and blizzardy the last couple of days, but I've been enjoying your post in China and seeing what God is doing for you there, and
amazing.
It's just wonderful.
It's amazing. Today
in restaurant. I'm in Grand Rapids, Robert. I'm in Grand Rapids.
You're in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, yes. I'm in Grand Rapids.
And I'm north of Grand Rapids, so you know what I'm talking about with the snow.
All too well, my friend, all too well.
Oh,
I'm very happy to be in warm and sunny Bible Belt of South Carolina here. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you guys,
so whereabouts are you? Like,
be driving careful.
All right, hang on a second.
Whereabouts
Vanessa.
Are you in?
Yeah, I live north 25 miles in a little town called Grant.
Oh, okay, Grant Tigers. I know. That's right off 37. I know exactly where that's at. And, you know, last summer I was going to meet Vanessa. Vanessa says to me, well, we're going to shoot a video. And she says, can you bring, like, and she says, like 10 horses, 45 people, 10 cows, tigers, lions. She gave me this list. It's like, I'm not sure that Rich DeVos, president of Amway, could come through with this list. I'm like, I'll see what I can do, beautiful lady.
Oh, that's
fantastic. I never think small.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's just
especially
wonderful.
Especially if it's chocolate.
That's awesome. Well, I'm sitting here. Snowbound in my house with a beautiful woman like you, Vanessa, my wonderful Esther Marie. I married her when I was 18. She was 20, 41 years ago.
Wow,
God bless
you. Wow.
And she is more beautiful today than she's ever been. We have 5 beautiful children, 4 beautiful in-law children, and we're having our 15th and 16th grandchildren January and April.
Oh, my goodness.
Whoa.
That is terrific.
Congratulations.
And the 16th, this will be, we'll have 8 boys and 8 girls, grandchildren. The 16th is going to be named James Edward III. So I'm so honored. I'm just so honored.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, I'll tell you what, to those of you who are in the frozen tundra up north, and to all those that are being snowed in along the eastern seaboard heading up towards the tri-state area and New England, I'm going to play Vanessa's song from her new album, Joy to the World, and it's called
Amen.
White Christmas. So this goes out to all y'all there, snowbound.
Of a white Christmas. There we go.
Including the snowbound people in Texas. So this is White Christmas.
Fantastic. Esther, what do you think about this, honey?
So beautiful. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Now, it reminds me, when I heard that, I thought Wynton Marsalis. Is that what?
I don't know who that is.
He's a jazz player and saxophonist.
Okay.
And when I heard you start the song off, I said, okay, Bing Crosby. But then when you went into the jazz area of it, I said, wow, what a good twist. Now,
yeah, Chris wanted to do it jazz. I defer to Chris most of the time.
Well,
my musical guru.
All right, let's bring our other friends back on, and we'll bring James on, and we'll bring in Thomas.
Oh, can I say hi to my cousin Carlia?
Go ahead. All right, James, I'm going to have to mute you for a second. There we go. Sorry about that. James got it playing in the background. So go ahead, say hi to your cousin.
I just wanted to say hi to my cousin, Carlia. When she was little, she used to try to sing like me. She just recently posted that, and she told me that she was in the bathtub singing Rest Beside the River, trying to sing like me, and my Aunt Ruby, who's passed away, got it on a recording. And we just reconnected, and she's listening, and I just wanted to say hello to her and that I love her.
Oh, how sweet. So, Carly?
I haven't seen her for years or talked to her for years, and we just reconnected this last week.
Oh, that is absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Mike, what do you think about that song? Did I lose my co-host? I may have lost my co-host. If he remembers, turn your mic back on, Mike. Okay. Now, what was your influence when you said you told your arranger to just run with it? Did you tell him anything you liked with it, you know, that you wanted him to do?
On White Christmas?
Yes.
Oh, nothing. No. I trust him completely.
Oh, that is absolutely wonderful. You know,
he had an old version of me singing it, and he asked me the question, do you like the way you sang it? And I said, well, I guess I did at the time. and that was all that was even said. And then when I got it, I said, oh, you did a jazz, and that was it.
You've got a very, very versatile voice, because I can hear you go from different styles, and it's absolutely amazing how you're able to just switch so easily.
You know what's the hardest thing to do for me, seriously, is switching from, like, let's say something like Joy to the World to trying to sing Thistlehair, the Christmas Bear, because it's a completely different style, and I have to actually concentrate when I switch to country after I've sang more R&B kind of music.
That's interesting. I found that very interesting. I'm not a big country singer, even though I do like music. I don't sing to a lot of them. So I never really tried the style, honestly. It's
more accurate and well, no, I can't say that it's more accurate, but it's a different mindset, and I really have to change my thinking when I switch to singing country music. It's more difficult for me.
Probably why I don't do it a lot.
but I don't know how to explain it to you. It's very simple, actually, but you just really have to be accurate. You can't roll notes all over the place. You shouldn't anyways. You need to clean it up and sing straight and be very accurate.
Yeah, it is a precise form of music. We got another caller in on the line. This is area code 937. You're on the air live. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Carlia.
Hi, Carlia.
Hi, Vanessa. How are you?
I'm so happy to hear your voice. I can't believe it.
Oh,
I
can't tell you how.
About.
What's that? I'm sorry.
I was just telling Annie and Mike that this is my cousin Carlia. I just said hello to.
Oh my gosh! Well, you know, I just felt like I wanted to call you and tell you, you know, what a profound influence you were on me as a child, and you know, I've had some struggles lately, and I think God puts people in our lives at certain times.
Yes, He does. He does.
I'm just so thankful to be back in touch with you, and I feel so proud of you. And you sound like an angel when you sing, and you just reach right into my heart, and you touch my soul. So I just wanted to tell you that.
Well, thank you so much. I love you to pieces.
And
well,
congratulations on all your success. It's just wonderful.
Well, Carlita, whereabouts do you live?
I'm in Springboro, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
It's about 20 minutes south of Dayton.
Okay. Well, I'll have to get to know you. I'm actually going to be Vanessa's husband someday, so I'll have to know you as my cousin.
You know, I get the feeling there's some, electricity going on here, so.
Well, there's only like five guys calling in, and all of them are proposing to her.
That's not true.
Well, Vanessa, I have to concur. Your music is beautiful. It is so divinely passionate of truth. And when you sing, it is just amazing how I think all of us can learn from each other different things and different aspects of their life, and just how sincere you are about Christ and how he has touched your life is really a great through your music. It is simply humbling and amazing. I know Annie concurs as well.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I had muted James' mic before. Let me see if I can bring him back on again.
Yeah, I don't mind being muted. That's okay, because I'm enjoying my brothers and sisters. It's okay.
We were listening to you singing, James. We were talking, and we could hear you singing.
Yeah, I'm singing, but I don't know if it's, you know, that's just my life. You know, I've been preaching in the streets since I was 14. I met Christ May 10th of 1968 when I was 14, and went to David Wilkerson's church in New York City the next year. Been preaching on the streets ever since. God is amazing. He's authentic.
Yes, he
He's
is.
Real. He doesn't want us to be fake. He wants us to be real. And then his power flows through us, and it really touches other people. He's drawing people to himself. What a great Heavenly Father. People say, well, who are you? Have I met you before? It's Jesus within us. He's called us to be all, to be evangelists. And that's what Vanessa does. That's what Vanessa does with her smile and with the way she looks and the way she plays the piano and the way she sings. She's drawing people's hearts to the Heavenly Father. Thank you, Vanessa.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We all thank you. Now, James, are you going to be coming out with an album of your own?
Lord willing. I'm working on some things, and, you know, I have so much fun.
You need some original songs. You holler at me.
I would like to, dear. And
I can play Triangle.
Yeah, we'll be talking more about that. I have a master's degree in voice and from Central Michigan University. I went to Southern Baptist Theological Seminary also. But the Lord has said, you know, your voice is mine, and I want you to worship me before the courts of heaven, like it says in Hebrews, that we go boldly into his throne room. So God has me helping my children and grandchildren and loving my wife. That's the only way I have a ministry, is that I'm a servant to those that God has called me to. And I plan on doing that every day of my life until the day
Amen.
I die.
Amen.
I love it.
This is
real. It's authentic. It's not about money. It's not about fame. It's about him. He's so beautiful. Jesus is so awesome, precious, tender, incredible, beyond belief. And we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, because he's called us not to be an angel, not to be, you know, just some secondary being, but to be his bride. How precious is that?
Yeah, James, speaking of that, your earthly bride, congratulations on such a successful marriage. How did you meet the princess? Or should
well,
I guess
tell
you'd
you
be
what,
a queen by now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I was 14. Excuse me. She was 14 and I was 12. And she had known Christ since she was 4 years old, and her mother and father are beautiful Christians in a conservative church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Her grandfather helped start churches. And at 14 years of age, she believed the Heavenly Father spoke to her and said her future husband wasn't saved yet. For 2 years, every day, this 14-year-old girl prayed for me, having not met me. I met Christ May 10th of 1968, and she felt in her spirit, okay, she could stop praying that prayer. And a month later, I met her at Eastern Avenue Gospel Chapel in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I was 14. I was 5'2", weighed 120 pounds. She was 5'6", weighed 125 pounds, which is what she is today. She looked like she was 20. I looked like I was 12.
Must be nice.
And she said, you know, who's this guy I get to encourage? And she discipled me. And after a few months of that, I'm like, what's this tingling I'm feeling in my stomach? And so we went on, you know? So it's just a beautiful thing that happened. And
this is amazing right here. I hope the world is listening. I just drove by the corner of Eastern and Logan.
No way.
That's where that church is. Yes, I'm in Grand Rapids. Yeah, I'm headed south in Grand Rapids. I just drove right by it.
See, with God, he doesn't waste anything. Vanessa, he doesn't waste anything. In all of our hearts, here's what he says. He says, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And we go, well, yeah, but that's for somebody else. No, that's for us. That's for the bride of Jesus. He withholds nothing from us, and yet we don't need to be revived. We need to be rekindled in our heart's devotion and love. And so me, as a married man of 41 years, God says, now as you serve your wife and as you get her a cup of coffee and as you rub her feet with, you know, with extra virgin coconut oil and as you take care of her, as you look into her eyes,
wow,
that is you loving me. And, I mean, it just goes like that. And then my sons see this, and they do this with their wives, and my grandchildren come over, and they sit in our laps, and I get on the floor, and three or four of them climb on me, and they look at me, and they say, oh, Grandfather, we love you. And I just had a celebration last Saturday at another church. 55 people came to honor the fact that I turned 60. And I look like I'm 45 or 48. I have energy like I'm 40. I feel phenomenal. And God is saying, now, here's a servant I can use because it's not about you. It's not about money. I work with my hands. I can go support myself. But I can go and love people. So I went to Ireland. I'm telling you, things happened. God said, now I want you to hitchhike into Belfast, 15 miles away. And I put out a little sign that said, Belfast. A guy picks me up. His brother-in-law just died 3 hours before that. And he drove from Belfast to this little town to encourage his sister. And the sister said, Noel Ray, if you want to encourage us, get saved because my brother, my husband is saved and he's in heaven. The guy runs out of the house with disgust, jumps in his car. 2 minutes later, he picks me up. He never picks up hitchhikers. And the first question I asked him, I said, my friend, do you know Jesus? And his hair blew back. He said, what's going on here? And I shared the gospel with him all the way down. Now, that is our Heavenly Father calling people to him. People are going to go to hell if they don't know Christ. And you know what? They say, I don't like the church. Well, we don't like a lot of the church either. But I love every Christian. I love them with all my heart. But I want the love of God to be within me, knowing that everything is good, everything is all right. And I get to share with him, share with people what he gave me this morning. And that's what he does. And it's precious and it's awesome. And that's all he's looking for, people that would be authentic, Vanessa. People that would be authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's who we are. We see what God has done with you and the miracles that he's doing. I mean, you're going to have a helicopter pick you up and lift you up to the, you know, the Great Wall of China. That's God saying, my daughter, you know, in due time I'll
lift
you up.
Oh, I know it is. It's totally a God thing.
Yes. Isn't it awesome?
I said I seem to be just walking around saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's a God thing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's a God thing. And then today in the restaurant, who do I meet? Out of all the women in the restaurant, I happen to speak to this woman, and turns out she's a Christian. She just arrived, and I said, do you have any friends here? And she said, no. And I said, won't you have a seat? And now she has a friend. And
isn't
we
that
sit
precious?
There and we talk. Yeah, now we
all the way over in China.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she's an American. She's an American.
That's awesome, Vanessa. You see, we tend to compare ourselves with ourselves, and God says, don't do that. Let me just love you. But if you need more, James says, if you need more wisdom, ask for it. But ask so that
That's
you can
right.
share it. And this is it.
I pray for wisdom. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father.
James,
this is awesome, you guys. I
James,
love it.
We're down to our last 4 minutes, so let's finish off with Vanessa. So I want
Please.
To thank you for calling.
God bless, Vanessa. Look forward
Jacob,
to talking on Facebook, honey.
All right, James.
With all these goodbyes, we'll need an extra hour of the show, Annie.
I know. And I encourage James to share the link on his websites, his Facebook pages and whatever, and let other people listen into the podcast.
Bill was trying to call, and he just asked me for the phone number. I just flew by today.
Yes, it did. And your album is Joy to the World, and people can go to Reverberation to get the album. There's a link on our show page, which you can find at southernsense.webs.com. There's also a link inside the chat room for reverbnation.com. Vanessa, this has been fantastic. We have to have you come back again.
I always enjoy it thoroughly.
All right.
Even though Mike is trying to marry me.
Well, you know what? I just got a Facebook message. They're calling you Cool Vanessa, and now I'm just Mike. Well, isn't that wonderful? Vanessa, always a pleasure. We love you, body, spirit, and soul. You are our princess from Southern Sense.
Love you guys, too, very much.
All right. We're going to finish off the show. Instead of with our closing number, I'm going to play her number, Thistle Hair, The Christmas Bear. This one is just too cute. So this
you know, that's probably one of the most favorite of that whole CD. I'm so surprised every time I hear people say, that's my favorite. And I'm like, really?
Well, this is From Joy to the World, Vanessa Feltner. And thank you, Vanessa, for being such a wonderful guest and a wonderful person.
Thank
you so much. Happy birthday, Vanessa.
Oh,
thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. See you Friday.
And in them woods there lives a bear, known to all as Thistle Hair. Oh, Thistle Hair, the Christmas Bear, spreading the good news everywhere about Christmas time and what it means to all the children of every little boy and girl out there. The kids all love his smile, and the smell of bunny on his nose. He tells them all about the stars and everything that it stands for. The birthday we all celebrate is still our favorite holiday. Oh, Thistle Hair, the Christmas Bear, spreading the good news everywhere about Christmas. All the children.